Amen. Well, I do want to take just a few moments in God's Word this morning. And so if you would like to follow along, we do make an outline of notes available on our church app. And so if you have not gotten that, it's just North Goodland, BC in your app store. You can get on there and you can see if you go to media, a message notes, and then you'll find an outline for today if you'd like to follow along. Today's message, I was really praying this week over what the Lord would lead me to bring before you today. And as I was kind of thinking through this morning and all that we've been celebrating with the awards and just all the kids and just encouraging them, I really could not get away from the word of legacy. The idea of legacy and an idea of passing down that faith. And so this morning, I want to walk through this idea of leaving a legacy that matters. Leaving a legacy that matters. I think we all will leave some legacy when we leave this world. We'll leave some memory of our lives, obviously. But I want to encourage us this morning to, with purpose and intent, to prayerfully consider what type of legacy are we leaving this generation that's coming up today. The impact we leave behind can be multifaceted in the lives of our children and grandchildren. Many of you have taught great truths to your children or grandchildren. Many will say that their mom left a legacy of a woman that loved others, that served others. Maybe part of that legacy for mom is that she made some pretty good food, amen? I'm not struggling, you know, to get some good food at home, in case you can't tell. I'm doing all right, okay? It's good stuff, okay? Some of you, maybe as grandparents, there's memories that will be left of just time spent together, right? Going for walks with your grandchildren or just spending time together. Fathers, is that dad always had fun experiences. Dad was always the one that loved to have fun. Or maybe for some of you, it's, man, dad worked really, really hard and left that legacy of hard work and putting forth efforts and being committed to your word. And these are all good things. These are fine things that I love the idea of passing down these truths. But if we really step back and we ask of ourselves, what is most important? While those things are obviously important, and we can go on describing the impact of past generations of your parents or grandparents or maybe even great-grandparents, I want to pose the question this morning, what is the greatest thing that we can pass down to our children or grandchildren? And maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, I don't have children, I don't have grandchildren. When you're a part of a body of Christ like this, you are making an impact on the future generations. They may not be your physical children, your biological children or grandchildren, but you can have an impact over them in Christ through your prayer over them and your love and encouragement to them and just being that support for them. They don't have to be your biological children for you to make an impact on them. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew or it's some other relative of this generation coming up, and you as a follower of Christ, you pose that question to yourself, what is the greatest thing that I can impart to this generation that's coming up today? What is the most important thing that I can instill in them? Ultimately, really what we're asking is, what is the legacy that matters most? It's great to teach our children to work hard. But if we're being honest as followers of Christ, and I pray that you today are a follower of Christ, I pray that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible is so clear on this. There are not many roads to heaven. There is one path to heaven, and it is through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There aren't many roads leading up the same mountain. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and that is faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, that he died on the cross for sins, and find heaven as your home for eternity. You cannot lose what you could not earn, and we do not earn grace. I love the song we sang with the kids talking about the idea of that he is king and this is the truth and we'll defend our faith. Man, oh, for a generation that would defend the faith of Jesus Christ. We're really good at defending things. We're good at defending ourselves, right? And we're good at defending our favorite sports team, okay, no matter how horrible they may be, okay? We're good at defending our political view. We're good at defending our opinion. Man, we're really great at defending our opinion. Some of you have this gift where your opinion somehow becomes the right opinion every time. I don't know how that happens, but it's just a gift you've been given of the Lord, I guess. Some of you who are laughing may be married to the person with that gift. And you know that's not really true. Man, we're so good at defending things. But man, for a generation of young people that, yes, can defend other things and interests and hobbies, but of greatest importance will stand securely upon the word of God and defend the faith of Jesus Christ, because the faith of Christ is the only thing we defend that is eternally lasting. Your opinions will fade. Your teams will improve or just go away one day. Your political views will change. Those political individuals will change. All of that is temporary. What is the greatest thing that we can pass on to this generation? I want to look at a passage that is familiar to so many of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the New Testament. We're going to look there this morning. Now, if you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, either in print or on a device, we have some Bibles in the seats around you. We invite you to grab one of those Bibles, and you're welcome to use one. If you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can actually just turn to page 840. So if you're using one of the Bibles provided in the seats around you, you can turn to page 840, and you'll find our text that we're going to be reading this morning there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So as you turn there or scroll there, I really want to make it clear that, man, we love the Word of God, and I'm so thankful that we have the Word of God given to us, that we can see the truths that we find therein, and it guides our understanding this morning of this idea of legacy. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. That's amazing. After writing this message this last week, we kind of touched on this passage in our last men's Bible study this last week. And it was just really great to have that affirmation of what God was kind of inviting me into sharing this morning. And so 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who's a young man in the ministry. He's a young pastor. Some believe he could be in his 20s, somewhere in that age range. And he's writing to him, and he's encouraging him. This is Paul's last letter that he writes before he is martyred for his faith. He's going to be beheaded by the Roman emperor, Nero. And this is the last thing he writes to this young pastor who he's trying to encourage and trying to share some wisdom with. And listen to what Paul says to Timothy. But continue thou. He's talking in comparison to those evil men in verse 13 that are the ones that are perverting the truth and misleading people and false teachers and corrupting the things of God. But then he says in verse 14, but continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So he's saying, you can continue in the things that you've heard and you've learned, and you know this is true because not only have you heard it, you've seen it in their lives. So what is it that's so important that he needs to continue in? Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Is Paul confused about what brings salvation? Is Paul confused about what brings salvation? Absolutely not. There's only one way. It's Jesus Christ. So many of us, we think morality, good work, it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Why is verse 15 true? Why is it that powerful? Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we've read this one, this verse 16 and 17 recently in another series. But he says, as in, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is the legacy that was left for Timothy? What is the greatest important thing that his family passed down to him? It is a love for the Word of God. It is a love for the Word of God. And Paul says, Timothy, you know this is true. Continue in these things. See, Paul had the legacy laid before him, but he had to choose to pick up that mantle and walk in a love for the Word of God himself. And Paul says, Timothy, would you continue in these things? Now, in the greater context here in chapter 4, he's going to compare some, again, false teachers to Timothy, and he challenges Timothy to preach the Word, to be instant, in season and out of season. That means whether the Word is popular or unpopular. And if we're being honest, in our culture today, not very popular. Not very popular. The fact that I just definitively said that there's only one way to heaven and humility before Christ, faith in Jesus Christ leads to salvation is not popular today. That's arrogant. That's narrow-minded. How dare I make that claim? How can I possibly make the claim that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? It's not my opinion. It's not a denominational thing. It's a Jesus thing. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, good, moral, church-going, great guy or woman, no man comes to the Father but through me. You see, Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the legacy that was laid before him, which is a love for the Word of God. When we consider the values and truths that we are passing down to this generation, let us not neglect the most eternally vital truths. In the end, we have to ask ourselves this question: what matters most? And if we know what matters most today and what we believe matters most today, it will affect how we live each and every day and the choices we make in our own lives and the lives of what we instill in our children, grandchildren. And again, as I said, by extension, if you're not someone that has a child or grandchild, you can make an impact on this generation in various ways. So what matters most? Well, here's the truth. All will stand before the Lord one day. On that day when you and I stand before the Lord, when your children and your grandchildren and others stand before the Lord on that day, His concern, the Lord's concern, will not be worldly concerns of this life. Here's what I mean by that. It will not be primarily about how hard you worked. You could be a really hard worker. I mean, we're talking sun up to sun down. You work hard. You provide for your family. That's awesome. But when you stand before the Lord, He's not going to say, okay, did you work hard? Check. You're getting in because you worked hard. That's not His primary concern. It will not be a question about how much money you made. And so many people, but I'm leaving a legacy of financial security. There's no such thing. That's an assumption. A lot of people thought they had financial security in 2008. A lot of people thought they had financial security in 2019 until 2020 rolled around. I understand we should provide and be wise with our finances and have savings and pass down those things to our children. Of course we should. But that is not the greatest, most important thing you should be focusing on. Because the Lord's not going to ask you, how much money did you make? Lord's not going to ask you, what kind of house did you live in? What kind of car did you drive? How many vacations did you take that cost X amount of dollars or more? Did you have the cabin? Did you have the boat? Did you have the camper? Did you have this? Did you have that? Because if you have all that stuff, then you're in, because you obviously deserve it. See, the things that we usually stress about the most will not be on the Lord. Stress about the most, and we literally will almost kill ourselves for 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week, working our tails off. Why? So we can amass this pile of stuff and go, man, look at that. And you stand before the Lord, and He's going to say what He said to the rich man. He said, oh, you fool. Your soul is being questioned right now. Your life is being brought into question. Your eternal weight is being brought into question. Do you know the Lord? See, it's okay to have nice things. It's okay to work hard. It's okay to enjoy vacations and to have those things if the Lord brings those things in your life. But that is not what we're passing down primarily to this next generation. You see, when we stand before the Lord one day, and we will all stand before Him, maybe you think, well, I don't have to worry about that. No, you will. You will either stand before Him as His son or daughter in Christ, or you will stand before Him as one of those that He says is a worker of iniquity, and then you'll be cast away from His presence. Again, that's not my ideas. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. We will all stand before Him one day. The only thing that will matter most, that will matter at all, is the simple question, am I in Christ? Are we redeemed by faith through grace unto the praise of His name? Of course, it's important to teach our children and grandchildren to work hard. I love teaching and trying to teach my boys to work hard, to apply themselves in school, to do their very best, to strive to live a life of kindness and generosity and caring and compassion. I've always told my boys that when they were even younger in elementary school and they'd get the report cards and the progress reports, some of you, I didn't like when those came to the house. Amen. I'm at the mailbox, like, waiting on the mailman, like, hey, how's it going? Can I check mail real quick just before you put it in the box? I just want to make sure that catalog came in I'm looking for, you know. Burn that, okay? Get rid of that progress report. But when they would come home, you know, I love when I see great grades. And man, they work hard and all that. But you know the little comment section from each teacher? Man, I pay more attention to that section than I do the grades. Can I be honest with you? Man, when I see, man, it's such a joy to have so-and-so in class. He's so kind and helpful. When I sit at parent-teacher conferences, and not that my children are perfect, they know they're not, I know they're not, they know their dad's not perfect, right? It's not about perfect. When I see that, man, that brings joy to my heart. Parents and grandparents, amen? When you know your children and your grandchildren are making a positive impact in the classroom or in their community or in their area of influence, those things are great. But the problem becomes when we try to remove Christ from the equation. It's great to teach our children to do these things. It's great to encourage this next generation to do these things, to enjoy this life we've been given and to love their families. But if I'm being honest, these things are truly most achievable in and through Christ. It is not an either or, it's an and. It's not they're this or they're that. No, in Christ, they can do both. And I believe in Christ, we will actually see fruit, not just in this life, but in life that lasts, the eternal life. Again, it's when we try to remove Christ from the equation that we have missed the opportunity to pass down more than just memories of this life. In Christ, we are blessed to pass down the faith that will lead others to knowing Christ in the life to come. So the question we ask as parents or grandparents or individuals that want to make that kind of impact, where do we start? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, Pastor, I blew it. I came to Christ later in life or I lived for the world even as a Christian and now I'm looking back and I'm going, man, I blew it. I missed it. My children are grown. My grandchildren don't know the Lord. They're not even in church. My children aren't in church. I totally blew it. There's no such thing as long as there's breath in your lungs and a God who can use you, he can use you. So what do? And you start encouraging them. I've had somebody tell me in the past, just recently, they said, well, my grandchildren are in church and I can't even bring up the Lord around their parents. If I bring it up, they shoot me down. What do I do? You know what you do? You just start praying for your grandchildren. You start praying for your children diligently over their grandchildren and they would come to know the Lord or they would come to an understanding of a chance to accept Christ. So where do we start? The first thing I would encourage quickly, and you guys know me, I don't usually mean quickly when I say quickly, preach. But I really do mean quickly. Where do we start? We model the Bible as a living and active part of your daily lives as a family. We model the Bible as a living and active part of your daily life as a family. Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the things that he has learned. As an adult, those vital teachings are no less true or needed. These kids have memorized God's word at a great amount. It's amazing how God has worked in these children's lives that come up here on the stage and we applaud them and it's great to see. But you know that word that they're memorizing is not just to get a medal. It's not just to get an award. Man, they're hiding God's word in their heart. Why? That they might not sin against him. And then one day when they're in that conversation in their 20s and they're in that situation where they don't know what to say and they don't know what to do and the Lord by the Holy Spirit just brings that verse back to their mind and they go, I do know what to say. I do know what to do. Why? Because they put God's word in their heart. And so Paul tells Timothy, do that. When you were a child, you did that. Continue in those things. We think, that's great, those kids memorize some verses. Mom and dad, you want to know a great way to encourage them? You get in the word. You memorize some verses. Oh, I can't, I'm too old. Nonsense. Nonsense. We were so blessed a couple months ago to have one of our men, I would say one of our older men. He knows he's older. It's not a surprise to him that he's older. Did he just say someone was old? He's older. I don't know how else to say it. But he got up and he started sharing with us the memorization of a book, of a chapter of God's word. I'm just sharing it. He said he was so burdened how he used to memorize God's word and he just kind of like used excuses. I'm too old. I can't do it anymore. Now he said it takes a lot more effort than maybe it used to. But is it worth it? So it's great. We applauded these kids. You know, you want to know a great way to encourage these children? Don't just applaud them. Live it out before them. Hey, mom and dad, model it. Model it before them. Timothy's mother and grandmother had no idea he would be working with the Apostle Paul, equipping and establishing the local church. The same churches we would be reading about some 2,000 years later were the church of Ephesus, where Timothy was the pastor, and Paul's encouragement to continue the things he learned because God used him and used his heritage. Timothy's mother and grandmother, but just as many of us can do the same, simply incorporated the Word of God into their lives, as a family, out of a desire to know God more and to live as He sees fit to the glory of God. This is why we love Word of Life, because its primary emphasis is to give families the tools to know the Word of God in a real and practical way. There is such a need for people to know the Word today in what I would call a culture of spirituality, but biblically illiterate. We live in a culture of spirituality. Man, everyone you meet is spiritual. Everyone prays. To who? You don't know. To what? You don't know. Why? We don't know. But spiritual? Oh, I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. But do you know the Lord? See, we love quoting verses, but do we really know what those verses mean? So we live in a spiritual culture that's biblically illiterate. And that's why I love, again, Word of Life is giving the tools to the local family, to the individual families, to raise up children and a family that is devoted to the Word of God and a love for the Lord practically in real life ways. This culture of spirituality and New Age thinking mix biblical and non-biblical views together and just unaware of the truth. We need the Word of God instilled in the homes of our country. We can see a shift back to a proper understanding of what it means. Also, we begin by making the most of your influence in your family. Make the most of your influence in your family. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have a page number for you. I apologize about that. But if you just go to your left from 2 Timothy, you'll start getting into Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So you'll see Philippians there, just a few pages back, most likely, to your left. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. We can make the most of our influence in our family. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Again, Paul writing to the local church, the church of Ephesus, where Timothy is a pastor, in a long list of amazing instructions for submission one to another, the marriage relationship. And then we get into chapter 6 and we see this dynamic of the home where the children and the parents. Look at verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now that word there for fathers could also be translated parents. Now we believe that the father is the head of the household, meaning that he is the one that is to guide and lead the family spiritually. But that does not exclude mom or grandparents from being involved in this nurture and admonition to the Lord. And so it's specifically to say fathers there, but also this could also apply to parents. I love what one commentary said about this verse. As the head of the household, the father is charged with ultimate responsibility for the way the children are raised. In practice, this instruction is meant for both parents and would have been understood that way by Paul's readers. Fathers are commanded not to agitate or irritate their children. Instead, fathers and parents are given the positive command to bring them up. To bring them up. This upbringing is not to have them meet some worldly definition of success, but to teach and to train our children and grandchildren to know the Lord, that they might live successful, faithful lives for the Lord. This is also not done alone. Another reference, it's in your notes there, is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, where Paul lists before Titus, again, another young pastor, all the ways the local church can get involved in this discipleship and mentorship, where the younger are coming to the older for wisdom and guidance, and the older are going to the younger, and older men coming to younger men, and older women to younger women, and just this dynamic of encouraging and strengthening one another in the Lord. This isn't just about kids, parents, and grandparents. This is a dynamic in the church body where we're just looking for ways to encourage one another, to strengthen one another. Again, in Titus 2, 1 through 12, we see the general instruction to the local church that we are all placed in the church to disciple one another. This is not just for children, but every generation, looking to those that are younger with a desire to impart godly wisdom. This is why one of our keys in our Word of Life ministry and all of our children's ministries, junior church, Our children's ministry teachers and volunteers are clear that we do not take the place of the parents in raising the children in the Lord. Let me say that again. Our Word of Life leaders and volunteers and junior church teachers do not take the place of parents and grandparents in raising children in the Lord. We have a very strange dynamic in church culture today where parents drop their kids off to youth group, drop their kids off to junior church, drop their kids off to Word of Life and go, all right, I'll see you in an hour and a half. Let them raise you in the Lord. Can I tell you something, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa? You really want to see a dynamic change in your children's lives and walk with the Lord? Don't drop them off. Go with them. It means you go to church. You make it a priority. Don't just encourage them to do a quiet time. You get in the Bible. You get in God's word. Model before them that it's not just about you go do this. It's we're doing this as a family because it's that important. So we don't take the place of parents or grandparents. We merely come alongside. We walk with parents or grandparents to help their children or grandchildren grow in Christ. So let me ask you a question. Are you creating a legacy that matters? Are your children just learning, get good grades, get a good job, enjoy life, have good hobbies, work hard at this hobby, that hobby? Or are you doing everything possible? Every breath is so that you know you can't control if they come to Christ. Your children's salvation is between them and the Lord. You can't save them. They have to choose their salvation in Christ as God works on their heart and their mind and they repent and turn to Christ. Salvation is not a family thing where it's like passed down from father to son and mother to daughter. It's an individual choice we all make. But are you and I doing everything possible so that when they stand before the Lord that day, we did everything we could to prepare them for that moment. Whether they believe and receive Christ or reject and walk away, all we can do is what we can do, and are we doing all we can do? I've heard over the years of being in youth ministry and now senior pastor ministry, I've had parents tell me sometimes that, you know, I don't know what to do. My son or my daughter doesn't want to do their devotional life, and I don't want to push them. And I look at them and I say, do you apply that same idea to their homework? Well, no, they have to do their homework. Oh, okay. So you're just telling them academics are more than Christ. Well, I don't know what to do. They don't want to go to church. They don't want to be active in church. What should I do, preacher? Do I force them to go? I don't want to force it on them. Do you force them to go to baseball practice? Do you force them to go to school? Do you force them to sit in a classroom, whether you're homeschool or public school or Christian school? Do you encourage them to get an education? Well, of course, they need that. Okay, so you're just telling them, be prepared for the next 60 to 70 years, but eternity, you don't have to worry about. Man, Christian mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, church, we're so concerned about the world stealing our children away, but we haven't done anything to ground them in the word so they're prepared when the world comes. And I know many of you do. I know many of you pray over your children, your grandchildren. You walk with them. Here's the thing. They were on this stage because of your involvement in their lives. So I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I just want us to realize this matters. It is of greatest importance. Because when they leave this world, that's when the decision's made. There's no second chance. When they get before the Lord, he's not going to say, how's your baseball swing? How many goals did you score? What kind of grades did you get in physics? I'm so glad I never took physics. So glad. Anthony's in physics right now. Are we doing everything we can? I mean, are we consumed? And here's the thing. You might say, well, I'm doing all I can for them. Okay, so here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready when you stand before the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Are you growing in his word? Are you active in the church? Or are you supplementing? Well, I go when it's convenient. I go when it's easy. It's summer, preacher. I know a lot of things going on. And are we modeling or are we telling? Are we telling our children to get in the word? Or are we modeling? Are we telling them to go to church or are we modeling it? Because I promise you, many of you grew up in homes where it was told to you, but it wasn't modeled. And you saw it very quickly. A legacy of walking with the Lord, which is truly the one legacy that will genuinely outlive you and I, resonate through future generations. Are you and I modeling the word and making the most of our influence in our family for his glory and by his grace? Because none of us do it perfectly. Don't beat yourself up. I missed it. Yes, maybe you did. Then you start today. Stop beating yourself up about past missed opportunities. Start right now, today. We're going to start now as a family. This is going to be a priority. Whether you're a part of a legacy of faith, your parents or your grandparents were followers of Christ, and you are as well, and you just grew up in that, or if you're the first in your family to know Christ and to start a legacy of faith, then let it be done for God's glory, for his honor, by his grace, because I promise you, you may lose some things in this life by making these decisions. Your children may think they're missing out on something. I promise you, all the reward of seeing Christ and knowing him will outweigh everything you think you lost in this life. Let's pray and ask the Lord to work in this in our hearts and minds. Our Father, we come before you today just so thankful. Lord, because I know I'm not a perfect dad. I have blown it so many times. Sandra and I are not perfect parents. There's been times we should respond with grace and love and mercy, and we respond in anger or annoyance and frustration. We've had to both just confess and repent of those things, cry out for grace and mercy. But Lord, I know when we seek your wisdom and we're walking in your word and we're modeling that before our children and grandchildren, that that is what you're using to make an impact. Lord, help us to see the weight of this thing. And Lord, again, I lift up those that are in the church right now that are like, well, I don't really know. I'm not a parent. I'm not a grandparent. What can I really do? I pray they would know that they can serve. They can love on those kids. They can pray for those kids. They can do all that they can do to model again what a man and a woman who walks with the Lord looks like. Lord, for the young people here today, teenagers in the service today that are receiving various things, maybe coming from a home where the Bible is modeled and it's evident. Maybe they're coming from a home where it's not. Maybe they're coming from a home where one parent models it and one parent isn't really interested. And Lord, that's tough. This is difficult. But I pray that the young people in this room right now would know that they don't have to wait till they turn 18 to make an impact for Christ. That they can right now, right where they are, begin making that impact on a younger generation and look to older generation for wisdom and guidance and direction. And maybe a young person here today will be the catalyst of change in their home where a parent or a grandparent comes to know the Lord because of a childlike faith. So Lord, in all these things, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as you lead, guide, and direct. And so we just ask that you would be glorified. And we pray above all things, if somebody here doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they would come to know you before they leave this place. That is the most important decision we can make. It's about repenting of our sins, turning from our sins, and trusting Christ that you died on the cross, was buried, calls upon your name, will and can be saved. And so, Father, would you work in all of this? Thank you for a great church with parents and grandparents that love the Lord and are instilling these things in their children's lives. I pray we'd continue in the things that we have heard. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, but to push on, even when it's difficult, and to model that grace, model that love of Christ before our families. Father, we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Maybe you want to come and pray, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa. Maybe you're here and you want to come and pray and say, Lord, help us to continue in these things to raise our children in the Lord. Maybe you want to come and start today with that decision, to start that new discipline of showing Christ, modeling that in your own personal life. Whatever the Lord is doing, would you come and pray? We're there in your seats. Let's honor the Lord as we sing together this morning.